All right, good morning, Morro Bay. I'd like to call to order the special meeting of the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. It is Thursday, May 19th, 9:07 a.m., and we'd like to establish a quorum and call the meeting to order now. From my right to left, we have Board Member Jane Beeman with us, Board Member Charlie Yates, myself, Aaron Graves, and Board Member Taylor Newton. I will be acting as the chairperson for today's meeting, as our current chairperson, Michelle Honorood, is ill. She is at home with pneumonia, as I understand it. So, Michelle, if you're out there in TV land, we all send you our best and hope you recover shortly. So we've established our call to order. Now we would like to open the meeting up to a public comment period. Are there any public comment out there?
Good morning. John Solu, resident Morro Bay and business owner.
Morning.
I was gonna do a speech out, but I decided not to do that. It's been a kind of an emotional week for me. About a week and a half ago, I decided to take my emotions out to the street and meet with a lot of the AHOA owners within town, which represents about 20 hotels out of the 35 hotels that we have. With that emotion, we talked about dissolving this organization. About 6 weeks ago, we did a petition and presented it to the City Council, saying that we did not want to change the process. It was successful and it was moving forward. During one of that council meeting, we basically were challenged that our signatures were not valid. Another City Council agreed. Another City Council made a comment about we're now at a new age, hovering at 30,000 feet. Then I started thinking, one of the AHOA members made a comment to me with that emotion that I had and said, you know, we're running a business. And he said, would we make that emotional decision when we're running a business? You know, we started this process about 6 years ago where we were running approximately a 50% occupancy. And our value of our rooms as owners was averaging about $100,000 a room. So that was over a $90 million asset in this town at that time. Within the last 6 years, we went from 50% to 63%. Our value of our asset went, in the last 12 to 18 months, has been averaging about $170,000 per room, which represents about $153 million in assets. And there are inns out there that are out in the market that's much higher than that. But not to mention our average rate increases year on year, and not to mention our market share increases from 6 years ago to today, where communities have taken their increases in tenfolds to 10% to 11%, where the city of Morro Bay was at 12%, so we actually gained market share compared to those communities. So I decided to think of this thing as a business approach, and basically met with all the AHOA owners and basically returned all their petitions back to them except three, which I will be doing myself. And that petition basically was to protest the T-bid for the coming year. We will be doing, we kind of came up as a pack, and a lot of us will be watching what's going on in the T-bid meetings. Because one of the biggest things that we were really concerned about is bureaucracy that's coming into this organization that we did not want. We know we have a year-to-year renewal process that goes on. So us as hotel owners should take every opportunity not to look at what's going on in marketing this community, benefiting our the hotels and the businesses within the community, not at 30,000 feet, but about 100,000 feet, and hovering down and looking at the process. Hopefully, we will see continuing growth, but I think the biggest growth that you will be comparing to is going to be looking at bigger growth than the rest of the communities surrounding us, because we do need to continue gaining market share. We are behind in occupancy from the rest of the county. We are behind in average rate. We have millions and millions of dollars invested in this community as hotel owners. So, I want to thank every one of you for volunteering, and I hope that there's certain members of the TBID that's feisty. Hopefully that will not go away, that will continue on challenging us. And as we see things, we will be forwarding those kind of things to you. Unfortunately, my wife wasn't here last night, couldn't make it today, but there was an email that was sent out regarding one of the items that you will be discussing on your agenda today. Hopefully, you'll follow the VCB model in that agenda, and making sure the additional money that comes back to the TBID for the bookings that take place gets put back into the DMOs in this community. And basically marketing this town instead of going into the general fund. So that's all I wanted to tell you, and I wish you guys luck for the next 12 months, and hopefully that will go forward. I know that this could create some comments next week. Unfortunately, when your people sit at the diocese, it's only a one-way conversation. You can't get up and talk back and argue the process, but hopefully that will move forward, and hopefully we'll continue having a successful year. And one last comment I wanted to make is in City of Santa Maria just started their TBID. You know, they saw a 10% increase without a TBID. Now that they started the process, not that I want to say we're competing with Santa Maria, but here's another competition that's coming in with a buku bunny into the marketplace to market themselves. So just keep all of those things in mind, and hopefully you don't mind me coming up here and giving you public comments as we move forward from here. Thank you.
John, thank you very much for your comment, and I am very glad that the community is watching the decisions we're making. This is a community effort. We're all banded together, and I think we should remain feisty up here with progressive ideas, and I love that you made comment. I would encourage more people out there to come to all of our meetings, make comment, watch it on TV at the least, email us, reach out to us. We're all up here donating our time as part of the community, and we would love your feedback. We're trying to represent all of you as a whole, not just our individual opinion. So thank you, John. Any more public comment?
I just want to make sure that the hotel owners know that we have a position on this board. We're looking for a feisty individual to join us to help us make these decisions. And so if you know anyone, John, or yourself, who'd like to join this group, if you know of the people that you've been meeting with who could assist us in this process, we need help. So I'm reaching out to an independent. We have two positions open on this board, and we really seriously need to fill them soon to keep going.
That's already closed.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you, Charlie.
But we're passionate about those openings. Any other public comment?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of your board. I'm John Heading, a member of the City Council, as well as the TBID liaison. I wanted to respond to a couple of things that Mr. Solu spoke to. First, publicly, as I have in the past, I personally wanted to thank Mr. Solu and his wife and a number of other individuals for the vision that they had a number of years ago to begin this notion of a TBID. It has been tremendously successful under that early leadership. It continues to be successful. And, of course, the City Council realizes that it is the economic driver for the city in general. And so with that, I wanted to say thanks. And also thank you for Mr. Solu for thinking rationally, would be my term, and possibly giving things a chance in terms of the changes that are occurring. Change is difficult for myself and for many of us. There are lots of new faces, not only on the board, but also within the administration. But I'm here to reaffirm the commitment of the city of Morro Bay to the success of the T-Bid and the hoteliers in general, as well as the businesses in this community, for without that, we do not exist as a city. And I'll say that again, without that, we do not exist as a city. It's in our best interest to see that you are successful. So as your liaison, I want you to know that I personally would be available to take information to the full council as necessary. Certainly, any member of any retail and or hotel organization is more than welcome to come forward at city council meetings and make comments. But also, I want to note that the city is prepared to make significant increases in the amount of monies, and I think you've seen that and will see that in the budget that's coming up, to make this organization and to help this organization be successful. I want to thank Mr. Haugen for his efforts and all that he has brought to the organization as a whole. Wish him the best, as I have before. I appreciate all of the efforts that he has made, not only in his leadership role, but also in bringing a lot of different entities in the community together. So, Brent, thank you so much for that, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors. I want to let Mr. Solu also know that at any time, if your group would like to meet with me as the liaison, I would be happy to do that. And I do believe we have, if I'm not incorrect, already a couple of applicants for the board position as well. We're looking for as many as we can get. We want a good selection. So with that, again, the bottom line is I want to reaffirm the city's commitment to the success of this organization, to the success of economic development, and the forward movement that you're making under the leadership that you have now. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Council Member Heading. Is there any other public comment?
Well, are we allowed to ask questions of the people at public comment or no?
I don't see why not. I think communication is key for this, Jane, so go right ahead.
Okay, so Councilman Heading, can I ask you a couple questions?
Absolutely.
Is that okay? All right. Thanks.
John, do you want to come back up to the mic and have a quick dialogue? That's what we're here for.
And again, I can't speak for the whole council. If there are things that you specifically want answered, obviously, I'm one person.
Just
one
you in your specific capacity.
Well, you're in the capacity of liaison.
You
so
got
I have
it.
A question.
Yes, indeed, Jane.
Okay. So I just wanted a little bit of clarification. And when you said that you were looking at tourism is the economic driver for the city, are you looking at that as TOT or TBID funds? That was my first question. And my other question, because TOT encompasses all of our businesses in town, that's why I'm asking that.
Right.
And the other thing is that you were talking about the commitment that the city has made. And I'm not talking about emotionally or on the podium, but I'm talking about the economic commitment that the city has made to support tourism without TBID. So could you just reiterate what the plan is for money over the next 5 years? And my last question is, has there been any discussion since your liaison about increasing TOT?
First question with regard to TOT dollars and you know, what specifically is the what I consider or the council may consider the economic driver or engine for the community. I think it's a combination of things. Not only are we talking about the TOT taxes themselves that are a significant portion of the general budget, but also the sales tax revenue that comes from spending, secondary spending, when we bring tourists to this community. So from a functional standpoint, you know, it's heads in beds that produce a tax that obviously feeds the general fund of the city, but it's also the spinoff revenues that come from spending that occurs while folks are here. And so things like length of stay become very important to me. The longer the length of stay, the more the TOT, the more dollars, et cetera. And so I hopefully that answers your question with regard to specifically what you were looking at with regard to dollars and what
okay.
I was referring to.
So I just want to reiterate, because mm-hmm. my mind sometimes doesn't work like everybody else. So basically, the economic driver that you're really looking at is TOT, simply said. The general fund dollars growth from TOT and sales tax.
And secondarily sales tax
yeah. so
revenues.
It's just, I'm talking about the general fund. Okay?
Correct.
And basically the TBID funds market so that we can increase the TOT. All right. So that was – okay, so
right.
go ahead.
And then in terms of dollar commitment over 5 years, I do not have an answer to that because we have not scoped out over 5 years. I think verbally, though, we have made a commitment publicly to, and Sam could probably give you very accurate numbers, increase the amounts of dollars directly that come from the city to assisting this organization, this TBID, to be successful. And I believe in this year's budget, it's about $60,000, and that is expected to grow to about $300,000.
Yeah.
over the next few years. And that is, if you look at the general fund, that is a large portion of dollars. The last half, or the first half of our fiscal year, in terms of discretionary spending, we had an additional approximately $600,000 to allocate to some prioritized projects in the community. That are capital budget items that have been put off for, as you know, many years, not just streets, but just a general capital budget replacement items. That allocation was made, and also realizing the importance in the future of what economically TOT, TBID, et cetera, and sales tax revenues bring to the community. There's a commitment over several years to get to $600,000, and who knows where it may well go. And again, that's a full council decision. But Mr. Buckingham publicly, I'll reiterate, $60,000 for this year, and that will increase to $300,000 over
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
It's increasing at a rate of $60,000 per year right. over 5 years right. up to a maximum allocation of $300,000 on the fifth year, $300,000 on the next, and thereafter.
So. I'll also say, Jane, that is something that could change based upon the success of the community's efforts with regard to not only TOT and sales tax revenue, but also other revenues that come into the city. So that commitment is made based upon the information that we have now with regard to our budget. Possibly that could change in the future. And you had a third question.
Yeah. Well, I'd also just like to get back to that one. So it's $60,000 for next year, and then after that it's...
Then it could grow incrementally at
$60,000
from
okay.
60 to 120 to 180.
For instance,
okay, that's
yeah.
No.
If there was a recession, I mean, we would have to relook at our budget.
So my question is that Mr. Buckingham also, we've had a 10% and more increase year on year with TOT,
mm-hmm.
okay, which creates far more money than $60,000, okay? So my question is that he has now projected 5%. So he's cut what we have done, 10% and more year on year, to 5%. So how can he continue to meet, like next year, doubling the $60,000 to $120,000 when he's cut general fund contribution in half, in other words, from what we're doing, because he's only projecting growth at 5%.
Right. I'm going to let Sam speak to that
okay.
because Sam's
Great.
In the middle of the
okay.
detail
so my
of
third,
that.
So then the third question, then Sam could address that, is that are there plans for council to increase TOT?
There have been no discussions that I'm aware of at the council level, and obviously you know that because of the Brown Act, that council does not meet outside of the open meeting law, and you've heard every discussion with regard to TOT publicly that's been undertaken by the council.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sam?
Thank you. So really quick to I'm too loud. So if you recall, the City Council actually adopted an official resolution that outlines how we transition to the new format. Part of that includes the commitment to funding. So the commitment to funding is there's a mathematical calculation. It's $60,000 the first year, and then the years after that, 20% of the increase year over year will go directly back into will basically transfer it over the TBID fund. The projection is that within 5 years, that will be $300,000, and it's capped at that $300,000 level. So from there on out, every single year, we'd be putting $300,000 back into this. So it's not a one-time expenditure or injection into this. It's annual. So that $60,000 would then upgrade to whatever $60,000 plus the 20%. That'll carry over to the next year, and so we're estimating it'll take about 5 years to do that. It could happen faster. We hope it will. We hope that you know the TOT will continue to grow faster because of the hard work of the board and your staff, and we'll be able to get that up to that $300,000 faster than 5 years. So that's the answer to that.
Well, it didn't answer my question about going from how we're continually increasing TOT.
Regarding the
by
budget.
10% to
correct.
13%.
I was going to get to that
and
next.
Then, okay.
Correct.
Great. Thank you.
So, and that's something that we've heard before as well. So just to be really clear, so the city a year ago utilized management partners to come up with, for the first time ever, a 10-year budget forecast. We thought it was important to be responsible with taxpayer funding and make sure we are projecting for the long term what the revenues and expenditures for the community would be. It allows us to be better prepared. It allows us, as we're looking at our annual budget, to really be smart in the way we're projecting out to the future. So within that model, and I'm happy we can connect all of you with that spreadsheet. It's kind of insane, to be honest. It was put together by a financial guy, and you tweak a number, and it tweaks the whole budget. It's pretty cool. In that model, what he did was we got that projection from that financial expert. So he did look at our historical trends, but then he also did look at some of what's happened around the state. And really specifically, what he looked at was the upcoming recession. It's a moving target. No one has any idea when it's really going to happen. When we went to the Slo County Economic Forecast, they talked about how economists think it's going to happen one of the next 3 years. So some of this has to be guesswork, but what he's done is he's plugged that all in together. And so he said, yes, you've been growing at this rate. At some point, you may not be able to grow at that rate anymore, plus the recession, so let's put in a conservative estimate. We're not hoping for a 5% increase. We're using that for budgetary purposes so that we don't hope for too much TOT and then in our budget try to spend too much. Does that make sense? So we don't want to say, well, we're going to keep growing at 10% and then expect to be able to spend that much every year to fix you know, potholes and maintain our parks so that our visitors have and residents have a great experience here. We want to be fiscally conservative about it. So it doesn't have anything really to do with the other aspect of this equation. It has to do with making sure that we are very smart in the way we budget moving forward. I should also note that recently when we heard from Visit Slo County, they're also projecting, I believe, a 10% increase year over year, but in their budget, 0%. And they're doing it for the exact same reason. They're just trying to be fiscally conservative. It's just simply to make sure that we're being safe in our spending.
Jane, does that sufficiently answer all of your questions?
What?
Your mic is still on. No, off and push it one more time.
There you go. See? So my last question is, so if there's no growth, the budget still gives us 120. Let's say
60.
Well, 60,000 next year, but then 120,000 the other year. There's a commitment.
It's based on the increase. So if the budget was zero,
there would be no.
You'll get 20% of zero.
Okay. Exactly.
Correct.
So no growth. It's depending upon growth.
We want to be careful with it. Yep.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. So mm-hmm. there's no growth.
And Jane, we can have an additional discussion about this
That's
later.
Okay.
I'm trying to maintain
it's fine.
Time.
And I can send you the resolution, too, so you can see that.
I just wanted to understand that.
Yeah.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. And while that was an unorthodox public comment session, I do believe communication is very important for all of us. So, Jane, thank you for asking those things. And thank you, Councilmember Heading and Deputy City Manager Taylor, for answering that. Is there any other public comment? Looks like there's none, so we'll close the public comment session. And would like to open up very briefly here to the advisory board members. Are there any announcements or presentations on behalf of the board up here?
I just have one comment. I would just like to thank Visit San Luis Obispo County and the City of Morro Bay for working together with this group to bring Amgen Tour of California to Morro Bay. It was very exciting. Thousands of people. I was able to watch a little bit last night on TV. Very exciting as well. Good press. Very well done. And I think that the group should look at the potential in the future of hosting a finish at the Rock. That's my comment.
Thank you, Charlie. Any other announcements or presentations from the board? All right. We'll close that session. First issue on the agenda here, the consent calendar, is we're looking for to firstly confirm with the board that they've all had a chance to review the minutes from our board meeting on April 14th, which was actually held right here in the beautiful Cayucas Room at the Inn at Morro Bay. And I want to thank you, Charlie, for allowing us to use your facility for today's meeting. This is really a lovely space. So assuming that the board has all reviewed the meetings from the April 14th meeting, we're looking for a motion to approve those minutes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve as is.
All right. Do we have a second on that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Second from Taylor Newton. Any public comment on those motions? None. All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain.
And abstention from Jane? All right. We have three in favor. One abstention from Ms. Beeman, and the motion passes. The minutes will be approved. Next item on the business items agenda here is the progress update on the tour. Forgive me. What?
I'm just here to speak to this item when
absolutely.
you're
okay.
ready.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
I'm gonna touch you.
I'm just not. I don't get to sit at the table today, so I'm gonna.
Okay. Update on the tourism manager recruitment process. We'll open it up to Deputy City Manager Sam Taylor. Yeah.
Really quick, I did want to note, we actually had five applicants for your board. So we had three for the at-large position. So the makeup of your board is mostly hoteliers, two at-large from the community. Mr. Newton is one of those. And so we have one opening for that. We received three applications, and we received two for the hotelier position. So those we're hoping, the clerk's office right now is working to schedule for May 31st the interviews with the council, with those members, and hopefully they will then appoint at that meeting more members, so you'll have a full board here soon. That's pretty exciting.
You said May 31st?
May
31st, with the city
correct.
Council.
So that's okay. I think they're still working on that scheduling. I don't know if it's been fully confirmed yet.
It has?
Okay, it has. So May 31st, and so look for that agenda.
Okay.
And that'll be in the multipurpose room, I know, at the community center. So regarding the progress update on the tourism manager recruitment, I'm very, very, very pleased and excited today to actually have a full finalization for you, because we have selected the new tourism manager, Jennifer Lill, and I'll ask her to speak in a second, but just for some background, she brings about two decades of expertise in marketing to this community, and we're very, very excited about that. She's very, very intimately familiar with the hotel industry, having worked with the Fertitta brothers in Las Vegas to help them with their large station casino hotel empire. She helped basically bring the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship Mixed Martial Arts, from what used to be human cockfighting into actual legalized nationwide, from $2 million purchase to what may be sold here soon for $4 billion. And we're really excited for her to be here. She's also had her own marketing agency. And this was really important. We heard from the hotelier community. you were really hoping for someone to come on board as quickly as possible. And we heard you and we listened and we worked really hard to do that as fast as we could. We also wanted to do it because we want to make sure there's a good transition period with Mr. Haugen. Jennifer will start on June 6th, and so that will give them a month together to work, and that's very beneficial for everybody here so that everyone's on the same page. So with that, I want to introduce Jennifer, and again, we're just very, very excited. And thank you to the TBID members who both reviewed applications for this as well as participated in the process for the interviews.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm very excited to be here. So I just wanted to kind of tell you a little bit about myself and my background. As Sam was telling you, I came out of Las Vegas. I was recruited by Station Casinos to go in as their creative director back in the early 90s, and at that point they only had two hotels. And my charge was to help them raise their stock price, which went from $4, we got it up to about $25, and we brought on several casinos. They ended up opening five hotel casinos, with each having 250 rooms in Vegas Valley, plus two in Missouri, and then also Thunder Valley, which is based out of Sacramento, Auburn area. So that was where I started with hotels. Beyond that, I know those sound really big, but inside of all the station properties, they have independent restaurant owners, independent bar owners, spa, all of those are independents. And so it was also my responsibility to work with those independent owners on growing their facilities and doing all their advertising and marketing as well. Once I was there for about 8 years, and the Fertittas were getting ready to buy this sport, Ultimate Fighting, which was illegal at that time, and so I went out of house since it was a publicly traded company, and I opened my own agency, and I took two of their properties with me. I opened Green Valley Resort for them, based in Green Valley, Nevada, and also Palms. They were a percentage owner of Palms, so I helped them do their first opening, and then we legalized Ultimate Fighting and branded that as well. So those, I know those are all really big. Some of the other businesses that I've worked with that are smaller is Gordon Biersch Brewing, Las Vegas Motor Speedway, did a lot of point marketing for them. And I kind of became kind of the fix-it girl in Vegas is kind of what I became known as, and they would bring me in for specialty projects when they were having issues with either a agency of record that wasn't getting work done for a grand opening or something very specific that was timely, or reviewing different agency budgets, and that's kind of what I became known as. As far as Morro Bay goes, I have to tell you I'm here for Morro Bay. So whether I receive this job or not, Morro Bay is my home, and my family is very excited to be moving here. My family lives here, and I went to Cal Poly, and I'm really excited to finally be back and call this my home. So I'm glad I can help the city.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. We're very excited to have you on board, and I think it's a bit of a testimony to the draw, which is the Central Coast.
Yeah.
We're attracting talent out of Las Vegas. We have Chuck Davis with the Visit Slo County, as well as yourself. So that's
phenomenal. And I know Chuck well, and I'm feisty, too, so I'll work well with you guys. So good. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. And thank you for that, Sam. Next item on the agenda here is the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau transition. We have a staff report here that's been authored by Mr. Brent Haugen, and I believe we'll turn it over to him to discuss his thoughts on the issue.
Yes, thank you. We've had some good successes as far as like the transition. Our office move was very successful. There are some items that we still need to address that we're doing with the city as far as like some of the technology needs. Really kind of bringing this, there's a couple of points that I do need to bring up, and Sam, I'm going to probably have you come up to the mic as far as like for one of them. One of them is actually really regarding, I know conversation is actually happening between staff that are going to be transitioning over, and I'm just curious if we can maybe establish a timeline on when those contracts will be finalized, specific to Aaron Young, who is the sales manager who is going to be staying on underneath the city of Morro
Yep.
Bay. So if you can maybe address that.
Yep. So Brent and I, we had a great meeting last week to review most of the transitionary items, including this one. And so what we've been working on is a contract for Aaron Young. A little bit of the delay is when you recommended approval of the budget to the city council, in that you included actual kind of salary cost as well as a commission. And so we've been trying to work on how will we calculate the commission? And that's taken some time. Frankly, we're still not there. We're not sure how to do it. So what we've decided to do, and this was with Aaron's input, is we're going to offer him a contract with the city and basically say that how we calculate commission or an incentive type program will be basically determined between himself and the new tourism manager with the city manager's approval in the end. So right now, I got an email from Aaron on that yesterday, spoke to him at Amgen, and got that contract out to the city attorney, and I'm just waiting for him to get back any edits or thoughts he has on the way I wrote that, and we'll be able to get it to him this week. The timeline for those contracts is these folks, when again that resolution the city council passed as the transition, it says that we'll offer we would offer employment or contracts to folks. They're still your employees at the bureau, however, until the end of the June. So the contracts start effective July 1st. So we still have time technically to get this contract in place before all that.
Thank you, Sam.
Yep.
So you do estimate that by the end of this week, or perhaps
hoping today,
perhaps the first part of next week. That
I'm hoping today I can get it to him. The only reason it probably went slow was the city attorney was having to read all of the city council agenda packet until today. So I'm going to check in with them and just see how it goes. I actually used the template for a previous agreement we offered up. He's already read that, so I'm really hoping that helps him go faster. So
sounds great. Thank you for the update as far as that. So other staff recommendations, there are some financial items that need to be addressed by the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board. I know that the boards mirror each other, but a lot of it's actually involving the actual organization. So my recommendation would be is to have a Morro Bay Tourism Bureau meeting prior to the end of the fiscal year. Regarding the bank account, there's some funds that need to be transferred over and are being held over for specific events and items. Currently, having conversation with Mr. Taylor that we are going to be connecting our accountant with Susan Slayton, who's in the finance office for the city of Morro Bay, to work out some of the details, because we are able to transfer some of the existing bills from the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau over to the city of Morro Bay. You know, fortunately, we don't have rent payments anymore. Utilities have drastically reduced. We still have like phone and fax and just some of those small things. Those things can actually be transferred over from now and before the end of the fiscal year. So that is not an issue. But we do have some large items that need to be addressed. So I would highly recommend that the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board meet, and perhaps that we look at having them meet the second Thursday prior to the scheduled T-bid meeting. So I just want to address that and bring it back to the advisory board.
All right. Thank you for that. Mr. Haugen, does any of the board members have any questions or thoughts for Brent?
Taylor? I had a question. Besides Aaron, don't we have Rachel as well? Have we retained her?
Yes. We did offer her employment. We're trying to kind of work on that too. Brent and I have talked about it. Unfortunately, Rachel's not going to be available for the entire month of June, and that's a little, I think, stressful on your current bureau staff. That position is pretty important. So right now, Brent can speak this more, but he's going to be tapping Liz Gilson, formerly from the chamber, to assist for now. So we're still working through that. We had offered her employment after July, but we need to kind of look at that situation based on feedback I've received from Mr. Haugen.
Right. And the other thing is, too, with having Jennifer start June 6th, it would be great to actually have somebody be in the position or start the recruitment process for the sales and hospitality coordinator, so that way through the transition we don't have those gaps, and there's also training involved too, so that makes it kind of a challenge for my position as well as Jennifer's position by not having somebody in that position until into July. So again, we really don't want to have those gaps. There's a lot on an administrative level, especially when it comes to website communications, you know, paperwork and filing. This person actually assists to our sales manager. So again, we really don't want to have a lot of time that's going to lapse between now until the first part of July, because when we get into the discussion talking about research, you know, historically we've had a drop in business in September and November and January, and this is the time where we need to try to get more of that group business for that time. And, you know, our sales manager is very busy and doing a lot of different types of shows, and so there needs to be some tag teaming as far as, like, trying to find that business and try to bring that in and secure that during the summertime. So that's really kind of my focus right now, that we do need to have somebody in place as far as, like, getting things done for the transition, but we also need to have somebody in place for future business as well.
Yeah, I just, this is me being feisty. For me, for my position, I don't own hotels, but I do run businesses with lots of drama. And, you know, for me, I want to make sure that as we have a brand new director, that we have some, because if we don't have Aaron on a contract, if we don't have Rachel on a contract, if we don't have Sam, if we don't have Brent, we're brand new with, you know, as far as the employees that we're looking at. So just wanted to point that out to everybody that, you know, like, hey, let's get on it.
So if I could respond to that, luckily, I think we've been working really hard to set in place a good, strong base for the future, and that includes Brent's awesome marketing sales plan stuff moving forward. We've already got the plan. The annual plan is in place. You recommended that to council. They said yes to it. Mental marketing is already on board. They've done their very specific action plan related to respond to that. That's moving forward. So we've got our agency on board. They're going to be doing marketing PR for us, and so we're going to hit the ground running. I really believe that. And luckily, you will have a month transition with a new tourism manager and Brent working together doing that as well. Back in February, and so there has been a delay. I fully recognize that related to the sales manager. Back in February, we already sent a letter to Aaron that fully lined out exactly what the proposal is: $30,000 plus the $10,000 commission. It's just that simple. Really, now it's just codifying it into a contract. And he seems pretty comfortable with waiting on the commission aspect of it. That's totally fine with me. I think that the way we'll structure it now is he'll catch up. It's a maximum of $10,000 for the year. I think he'll catch up pretty quick. He's doing an awesome job. But I think he'll be on board. And if not, there are other sales manager folks in the area who can do that work. I don't think anyone here is replaceable, including me. As you alluded, I will be leaving on June 7th. So it's all going to work out. I really, really believe that. You guys have already set the plan in place, and it's just about, you know, taking action on that plan.
Thank you for that answer, Sam. Great questions, Taylor. Any other thoughts or comments from the board on this issue then?
I just want to say that it's really nice to hear that the city has got the contracts in the works for Aaron. I think that choosing Liz to assist in the interim, she's an amazing lady. So I think that was a very smart choice. And I'm just thankful that we're moving forward with contracts for Aaron. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. So that we have an actionable item on this agenda here, it sounds like the motion that staff is recommending is that the Morbay Tourism Bureau have a meeting that will run tandem to the TBID meeting on the next scheduled meeting, which would be Thursday.
I don't think you need to make a motion on that.
We do not need to make a
motion. Staff can just schedule a meeting with you.
So it's
good to go.
It's on the books?
You're good to go.
It's done?
Yep.
Good to go.
Well, it's up to your bureau staff if it's done, but yes, it's just that simple. You don't have to make a motion.
Okay. Thank you, Sam.
Looking forward to it.
All right. So we are through with that agenda. Next on the list here is Merrill Research results for the city of Morro Bay here, and we have a well-drafted staff report on that issue as well.
Well, thank you so much. Your research is very, very important. It actually solidifies some of the philosophies and the thoughts when it comes to staff and agency. It also kind of brings to light sometimes, you know, items that you can use and tools that you can use for the future. Obviously, there are 33 pages of a There are four reports and 33 pages, and I do have some initial thoughts and that I want to bring to light here, but I do need to thank Visit San Luis Obispo County for bringing this research project to light. It was our intention to be able to partner with them and to save a lot on costs when it comes to research. Research can be very expensive. Most of my experience that we've seen research projects start at about $10,000, and it can go $10,000 up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. For us, that we were able to keep the cost down, we're probably around $2,500 for the research project that we partnered with Visit San Luis Obispo County. So, again, this brings to light, too, that it's very important that we do have this relationship with the Tourism Marketing District in Visit San Luis Obispo County. This is one of the projects that actually helps that they had discussed on why the TMD was actually created for the county and how it was going to benefit specific DMOs throughout the area. So some of the things that I wanted to address here, again, some initial insights on the research data. We do need to come back and address. I do want to have some more conversation with Merrill Research, just making sure that there's all of the data is understandable. Today we're going to have some discussion, too, on which organizations and what agencies that we do want to share this information with. Obviously, we want to share that with. It's already been shared with the City of Morro Bay. We do want to share it with the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce as well as the Merchants Association. But if there's any additional groups that we want to be able to get this information out to, it's going to be great discussion after the insights. So the research that we have that was presented to our organization as well as to all of you, that the research is very consistent with looking at when we see historical drops in business. That is September, November, and January. One of the areas that I was really surprised about was actually December, because we usually see a pickup in December, but there's opportunities still to bring in additional business in the month of September. In the area of shopping, entertainment activities, and wine in the high season, the common dollar amount spent was in between $1 and $50, where food was actually higher, and it ranged between $101 to $250 for San Francisco and San Diego. Central Valley, it ranged from $1 to $500. And my belief is that Central Valley visitors actually, they have a higher frequency coming to Morro Bay, so there's going to be a little bit higher spend. It might not be a high spend when they're here, but I think because of the frequency, that's what we're seeing, a higher dollar amount actually spent within the area. Seattle actually came in the highest between $251 and $500, but Seattle is actually a long haul. They're a long haul for us. So essentially they're going to be staying longer and spending more money within the destination. I think that's definitely one of the goals for Visit San Luis Obispo County. Again, kind of tying back to that partnership, we're going to see a lot more outreach to more of the long-haul destinations such as Seattle and Phoenix and Las Vegas. So it'll be very interesting to see if they repeat this research project again for next year and to see if those numbers will actually, you know, fluctuate and change. As far as, like, activities, boat cruises ranked the highest in activities in both high and low season. Central Valley had more diversity in their responses, including bike rentals and kayaking. Again, because the frequency and how many times that they do come to Morro Bay, I think they've experienced more things to do here within our destination. In the area of accommodations, in the high season, the common dollar amount spent was in between $101 to $250, other than, again, Central Valley and Seattle. The Central Valley, again, because of frequency, I think that we're seeing that there's more money being spent overall. Maybe not for a specific trip here, and then Seattle again with being a long-haul destination. So that does make a lot of sense as far as like how the responses were done. It appears that there's higher spending in accommodations from both LA versus San Francisco. It was very interesting looking at the data, and I would highly encourage the advisory board to take a look a little bit closer at that. There's approximately between like $70 to about $80 difference in between the spend in between San Francisco and LA. Phoenix was consistently higher in spend in almost all of the categories, and that's accommodations, activities, food, shopping, et cetera. And again, long haul. We're looking at that at long haul. So my guess is that, again, because they are staying longer here, there's a little bit more of an investment of both time and resources. And so, again, I really love the fact that Visit San Luis Obispo County, and we're actually in line looking at Phoenix as being a great destination, especially with having flights going directly from Phoenix and Mesa to both San Luis Obispo City as well as Santa Maria. So, I mean, there's great opportunity for growth in those markets. In the low season, the responses were very low and somewhat consistent in all areas as far as like spend, and that was really kind of across the board. I'm going to be addressing just my own professional insight at the end of this report. It was interesting to see LA respondents had a high response rate at 22% as far as like relating their stays within inns and B&Bs. Hotels were highest across the board, but LA came in. And I think because of that destination being in a high hustle and bustle, they're surrounded by the corporate flagged hotels. They're looking for a different experience, which Morro Bay can definitely fulfill. So I would highly recommend that for you in the future to maybe highlight a little bit more of the uniqueness with the product that's here for accommodations, especially for the LA market. Because they are looking for that to get away from the hustle and bustle. They want to come here and relax. And sometimes hotels don't exactly translate into that in marketing, but a lot of times with bed and breakfasts and inns, perception-wise, it has kind of that relaxed feel. It's getting away from what they're used to. Just a few, again, some professional insights from me. Don't really have a lot of facts to base, specific facts to base it off of, but just looking at the numbers specifically when it comes to restaurants and shopping, looking at what we had delineated as far as like regions, we have downtown and Embarcadero. It was very interesting to see that a lot of the responses were higher in downtown specific to restaurants, and we don't have a lot of restaurants in the downtown area. When I started looking at like the areas of shopping and some of the other categories, it is really kind of under my understanding that the respondents, they don't know the difference between downtown and the Embarcadero. So that could be a really great opportunity as far as when it comes to how do we market those and how are, because residents look at Morro Bay differently than what visitors look at Morro Bay differently. And so perhaps the regions can be looked at and marketed differently as we're moving ahead and when we're looking at how the economic development is changing here in the city of Morro Bay. Couples ranked very high in visitorship. This is actually very consistent with what I'm hearing from businesses. It's also consistent with the product that we have with the Morro Bay Adventure Pass. The Adventure Pass, the Couples Pass, is actually the most successful sold pass that we have here in Morro Bay. So seeing that married couples or married individuals are very high in numbers here for Morro Bay from the research, it doesn't surprise me, and there could be some really great opportunities to be able to leverage that for the future. We did skew a little bit older, and we're at middle income levels. When it comes to the data that we received, that's really not uncommon as far as like what we hear from the business community, that we aren't reaching out so much to that younger demographic, that we do have a tendency of skewing higher just based off of the product that we have when it comes to activities, when it comes to shopping, when it comes to restaurants. But there could be some opportunities to be able to, again, for economic development, when the city is basically announced the aquarium, the new aquarium project, we could see where that could actually skew younger. With Aaron Young, when he's reaching out to some of the different sports groups where we are bringing in a different and a younger demographic, that could actually help facilitate to see some younger audiences actually come into Morro Bay for a spend here. Lastly, again, this is just my own professional feedback, that the data suggests that we need to do more work and more research on the type of visitors to attract during low season. When you looked at the numbers were very, very low during low season. And it's very difficult to extrapolate, like, what the behavior is during low season, and perhaps that we are not reaching out to the right audiences, and we need to maybe reach out to some of the hotels, motels that would be willing to share their data, especially during low season, as well as some of the other businesses, to see if there's a common pattern, if there's common behavior. It also provides a great opportunity for us to be able to try to secure more group business during the low season. So, again, just some initial insights by looking at the data. Just got the data like the latter part of last week, but with Amgen, you know, it's not an excuse, but it's very interesting to look at some of that information and to bring some insights to the board. Does anybody have any questions or initial questions?
Go ahead, Jane.
This was a lot of information to get without, number one, like a little cover outline. There's like 100 pages here. And we didn't even really have 48 full hours to absorb this, you know, of hours that we could be up. So I have a problem with just even understanding this report. What were the numbers that participated? We don't even have that.
The numbers are actually in the specific report. So what I'm going to recommend is
so
that
is
we...
So this first thing says 774. That would be the
correct
amount of people?
Correct, correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this study went out to how many? So what was this, 2% of what
it's based off of the number of respondents. So Merrill Research actually did this research for both Visit San Luis Obispo County,
right,
as well as a side project for Morro Bay, but it's actually all one overall project.
Right.
This is just the initial, Jane. So what I'm going to recommend that we do come back with, because I do want to have some discussion with Merrill Research. Unfortunately, I didn't have that opportunity by this meeting, but I just wanted to get you guys the initial report so that way you would have a chance to look at them, get some of my feedback as far as like an insights, but I think it's really wise for us to bring it back for a future meeting and perhaps even have Merrill Research here to be able to answer some of those questions.
Okay. Just one of the questions I have is this report is actually just a piece of the big report. So I'd like to know how many people it was sent out to so that I know what this represents in the sense of percentage. Is it 0.5%, 1%, 2%? That's all I want.
You will actually see through the report on the number of respondents for our specific piece.
So basically, just on this first line, county awareness, if it's a total of 774, then that's 100%.
Correct.
So that
correct.
Only so it was sent out to 774 people. And so 774 people responded.
It's just based off of the number of respondents. The number is probably larger, but I don't actually have that data.
That's what
today.
I would like
correct.
To know. I'd like to know that.
Jane, okay. At the Visit SLO County Tourism Exchange held two Fridays ago at the Fremont Theater, I was actually fortunate enough to speak with Patrick Merrill, the founder of Merrill Research, and ask some of these critical questions as well. He's been doing this for 30-plus years, frankly, is a genius at this data mining and gathering process and then kind of matriculating it into a report that helps DMOs like us. So the 774 respondents, I think he had a 1 or 2% conversion ratio. It was a combination of online surveys as well as some phone surveys were conducted. And they were looking at primarily people that had been to the area at some point in time and had some reference. And there's additional data in people that had never been here. And could they even find Morro Bay on the map in referencing all of California? So great information. I agree. It's a tremendous amount of data. We all need to comb through it. And I think this can aid us in being a roadmap roadmap for the following fiscal year for us on how we want to take the direction of Morro Bay as a tourism destination. Frankly, one of the really valuable little morsels of information I found in it, in people's general response to how they felt about Morro Bay and the Central Coast as a destination, they did agree that it was a beach community, a relaxed community, and a wine community, which we all would consider to be a common sense response. But one of the things they did not regard us as an outdoor adventure community or a nature community. And when I look around here, we are in a Garden of Eden when you look at all the boating, paddleboarding, kayaking activities, hiking. So that was, I considered, a real opportunity for us to kind of drill down into that a little bit more, that have your wine in the evening, walk the beaches at night, but there's a lot of fun sailing to be done and kayaking as well as hiking around here. So that I found to be phenomenal, and I'm sure we'll get into that at greater length.
And Visit San Luis Obispo County also is working with Caraggio on doing a strategic plan, and they also found very similar reactions as well, as far as outdoors was not really even in the top five. So it's very interesting to see that across the board, when we are all over in the county, we're an outdoor destination with a number of different outdoor activities. So it's very, very surprising in seeing that. So it gives us a great opportunity to, you know, leverage for the future as well.
It really is. And I see that ecotourism is a growing market share, and the fact that we can fill that void and kind of run parallel to this industry trend, I think is a phenomenal opportunity, and Morro Bay will continue to grow. Is there any other questions, comments, thoughts from the board? Taylor.
I had a quick question for Brent, and maybe I missed this in your summary just a little while ago, but when I'm looking at this data, I'm seeing responses from SLO, Santa Barbara, Napa, Sonoma, and Monterey. Is that correct?
There are areas, yes, correct.
Those are the...
They did regional as well as outside of the general area, and so if you do look at the columns that are more middle and then to the right, you'll see the responses from San Francisco, LA, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Seattle.
Okay.
And so those are the numbers that I have been addressing today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or thoughts from the board?
There's one additional thing that what we want to do is to who and how do we want to share this research. Obviously, again, we're sharing this research with our agencies. We're sharing it with the city. We want to share it with the chamber. We want to share it with the Merchants Association. I don't want to keep this research just sitting there, because there's really a lot of great information that different groups will be able to take and to be able to use on a standpoint, not just for visitors, but also taking a look at how does it translate into what we have as far as product and what could be developed as far as product. I know that on an economic development standpoint, with Shaben Concepts, you know, we definitely, and Sam, I'm sure that you're sharing this with them, it was very interesting in having some preliminary discussion with them in looking at what's the product here in Morro Bay. Ultimately, we see a lot of the product is really more skewed and related to visitors and maybe not so much for residents. And what could be those opportunities to be able to marry those two groups together and bring in business here into Morro Bay that can actually serve both types of groups. And so ultimately, this research, as well as the other information and research that the city has done and the county has done, and I think could all be brought together and really kind of paint a picture for the future on what type of business and what type of activities do we need to actually have. How can we market the destination? What are those opportunities? But I think there's still some missing pieces, but we need to be able to share this data so that way we can share it with the right groups, and perhaps they might have some data that they can like fit in some of those missing puzzle pieces here. But we really do need to figure out a way in how we can actually share this data with those different groups. And if the advisory board here has any suggestions on who I can actually share this information with initially, and again, maybe how we can actually share the information. You hate to always have it be on a website because we need to have a kind of a point and place where we can direct people to be able to download the information and to have some background information as well on, you know, who, how, what, if people have questions and how those can be addressed.
Jane, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think everybody should have access to this. I think the residents in this community, anybody who wants access to it, I think all the hoteliers, definitely. But a couple of things. First of all, I can't even read this. I mean, it's, you know, I have bifocals and I can't read this. And I don't know how many people are going to go through all this and understand it, even if they get through it. I would really hope that somebody can go ahead and put together an outline and say, what does this mean? You know, blah, blah, this is the average age. This is where we can grow. You know, this is what people are doing. This is, you know, that is what's going to be important. Let somebody else decipher this into layman terms, really, for all the businesses. I would appreciate that. And larger font.
So, Jane, is what I'm hearing is you're looking for an executive summary of the report.
Yes.
Okay. Duly noted. We will put that down. And Taylor had a question.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing that Jane was, and I was just going to point out that, like, if they did this for Visit Slow, and then we got a discounted rate to get this data, which is what they already collected for Visit Slow, and we're being presented with the data. I mean, the data collection is always the most time-consuming part. I would think that the presentation part, isn't that piece available as well? I would think it would be available. Like, I would love to see some of this in a graph form and, you know, just so that it would be easier for me to slam it into my brain in my limited volunteer hours.
Yes, and that's definitely a possibility with Merrill Research.
No doubt they can do that for us. Any other questions or thoughts from the board? Charlie?
I just want to state that at the Tourism Exchange, Mr. Merrill gave a very detailed explanation of this, how it was done, the process that it went through for the entire county. And I think that was an important meeting to be at for myself, to be able to understand the data presented. But I also think it's going to be wise for us to get Mr. Merrill in front of us here to explain the Morro Bay specifics.
We can maybe ask for him or one of his staff members to be here for a future meeting. I can collaborate with Jennifer, and if we can't have it happen in June, perhaps that we can look at July or August.
Brent, it also sounds like Visit Slow County might have another meeting to get into more detail on this, according to Aaron. So I just want to point that out. So if you probably are all on their email list, so just look out for that. That might give you a better idea of that. And I'm sure
June
staff
6th.
Okay, and I'm sure staff could be there too, so you guys can work to get that summary for folks who can't make it. You guys are all very busy, so that's what we're here for.
And they're actually hosting a number of educational events using a lot of this data as well, and I would encourage the entire county to attend those as much as possible. Chuck Davison and the team do a fantastic job of kind of summarizing it and boiling it and distilling it down to ideas that we can use. Any other thoughts or comments on this issue?
I just wanted to follow up on what I was saying is if there was available summary already made, I mean, that could be emailed. I don't need somebody to come and tell me. I just need the documents in front of me. 150 pages is a lot. That's all I'm saying.
It's doable.
It's doable. Fair enough. All right. If there are other questions, thoughts from staff or the board, then we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the MorroBay.org reservation system, currently using JackRabbit. And I'm sure, Brent, you have a lot of thoughts on this conversion.
I do. So it was actually brought up at a previous board member by Member Beeman that to look at perhaps some different reservation systems for the MorroBay.org website. At that time, Visit San Luis Obispo County was in discussion about bringing it onto their website, but it hadn't been finalized at that time. recently that they did incorporate that within the Visit San Luis Obispo County site that customers do see. It's been up and live, I believe, for about 2 months, maybe a little bit longer. We are actually currently using the Jackrabbit system. It was in existence before my arrival. I did actually use, and we had it with the website that when I worked in Minneapolis, we used the Jackrabbit system. It was really one of the only systems to be able to incorporate within a DMO or a destination website. So, but there's a lot of opportunities and options that are out there. And bringing up this discussion today, I don't know. I think it's really going to be a deeper discussion. I think that we have to engage a lot of the lodging community, because some of the individuals are not with Booking.com, and there are some concerns when it's regarding the commission rate. But currently, the Jackrabbit system costs the organization and will cost the city $1,200 per month to have it within the system. Jackrabbit itself, one of the positives that we have is that it maintains somewhat of rate integrity because it uses scraping technology and it pulls the rates directly from different lodging sites, as long as they do have an online reservation system that is compatible. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that we have a small number of different lodging properties here in Morro Bay that are going specifically with Booking.com, and Jackrabbit and Booking.com are not compatible with each other. So they cannot actually get those rates from the properties that are predominantly and specifically using Booking.com. One of the areas that it's, as John Solu had talked about, maybe when he talked about emotion, to me sometimes it's not about emotion, but it's actually about professionalism, and it's also about service. And I have been appalled at the lack of service that we receive from the representative here in California, from Jackrabbit. I never hear from our representative. I had a completely different experience in Minnesota. We had a phenomenal representative that would reach out to me at least on a monthly basis. They would do kind of a report card to see where, making sure that all of the lodging properties were on. They would do a technical, review. I have to do a technical review on a regular basis to make sure that all of the lodging properties are still being, are showing up. When there are issues that happen, it takes sometimes 2 to 4 days before I get a response from our representative. I have brought this to the attention to Jackrabbit. Unfortunately, nothing has materialized as far as that. So there's a little bit of a frustration point as far as like on a business standpoint with Jackrabbit. It still functions, it still works, but we don't see an actual reservation going from start to finish. That's another big challenge. We only see the search happen. And once they are searching and once they actually go off of the morrobay.org website, we don't know if they've actually made the final reservation. So I provided the advisory board, and I can also provide this to the city as well. I can put it into a PDF format. But I took the Member Beeman had requested from me to pull some of the Jackrabbit reports, and it really essentially gives... These are just search. This is search alone. So we don't really even have a percentage based off of the number of searches that actually go to the final booking. And consumer behavior changes, and a lot of times people are using Jackrabbit. They're shopping around. They're going to the OTA sites. They're comparing it to what they're seeing on our site. But the final booking, we don't know where they're doing their final booking and what that final booking is actually happening. That's one of the benefits with Booking.com and some of the other systems, to where you can actually see the booking from search to the actual final booking. So I'm not saying that it's the begin-all, end-all, and it could be a potential solution for the MorroBay.org website. There's some information that was provided to the advisory board on the booking engine talking points, and this was specifically given to us by Visit San Luis Obispo County. They've done a lot of different research. I also have some information from Liz Wirt, who is the representative for Booking.com for this general area. We could, unfortunately, she wasn't able to make this meeting today, but we could actually schedule to have her come and to answer specific questions about Booking.com. And, you know, commissions and answering any of those questions regarding from the lodging community. And this might be perhaps an opportunity to also to have a specific workshop, maybe not during an actual advisory board meeting, but having it be during a time where more of the lodging constituents can actually attend. And that would be a recommendation that I would love to make as staff, as we do look at another time where we can invite the lodging community. If they do have specific questions for Booking.com, it can actually be more of a dual purpose. So I'm going to open it up to the advisory board if you do have specific questions. Again, I do have some information provided to me by Liz, as well as from Visit San Luis Obispo County. We don't want to, all of you received an email from Joan Solu from 456 Embarcadero Inn and Suites, and she had some specific questions. Again, I don't know if we can address all of that today and make a final decision, but perhaps a task force could be created. But again, I would really love to recommend to have a representative from Booking come to be able to answer really a lot of those in-depth questions that lodging is going to have. In infusing this potential solution and perhaps for other questions that they might have just with their company in general.
Brent, well said. This is a very deep issue that needs to be thought after. Before the board discusses on it, I think it would be appropriate to open this up to public comment. And I see
staff comment first, probably. I want to clarify really quick. Ms. Solu, who I continue to be sad is not on this board, had a lot of good questions. And as Brent said, this is a big, big topic. So it's really important you dive deep in this with the rest of the hotelier community. You know, decisions today wouldn't be appropriate. One specific question she had that I think is really important to address because it speaks to a lot of different things related to revenue generation related to the TBID fund. Ms. Solu asked if because there's a small benefit back to the TBID, basically, for that, she was hoping it doesn't go into the general fund. No revenue generation from this goes into the general fund. So everything related to tourism marketing promotions, when you sell advertising space in the visitor center guide, if you were to have a product like this, the Adventure Pass, all of that revenue goes back into this enterprise fund. So that's the same way, that's the same thing for all enterprise funds at the city. We have separate funds that are only that only collect revenue and only expend revenue from their fund. The water fund, the sewer fund, the harbor fund. All of those things are very separate from the general fund. So when someone has a lease site on the Embarcadero and they pay those lease payments, it goes into the harbor fund, does not go to the general fund. That's then designed, obviously, that revenue is to help them continue to improve the harbor area for the benefit of those leaseholders. Same thing with this. If there's revenue generation that will come to the TBID fund, it'll stay there so we can continue to improve our tourism marketing promotions and all the initiatives and endeavors you work on. That's really, really important moving forward because I've seen that question a few times on a few different things. So the answer is if it's revenue generated from the TBID, it'll go back into the TBID. The only thing that we collect that goes into the general fund and that we're already doing is TOT. TOT is a general fund revenue source. It's separate from TBID. When we talk about putting that $60,000 into the TBID fund, what we're doing is an internal service fund transfer. And so the City Council will actually be starting its work on its draft budget next week. That's the first workshop. You're all welcome to come to that if you'd like to. You'll see there's a specific budget sheet that shows transfers in and out from the general fund. One of those transfers away from the general fund is TOT into the TBID fund. So that's the answer related to TBID. It's enterprise, it's separate, and it's protected.
Thank you for clarifying that, Sam. If there's no other comment from staff, I'd like to open it up to public comment then.
Yes. I did want to comment.
Okay.
A part of the booking.com format and that there is a 40% earned commission that comes back to the organization. it sounds like it's a big number, but when you take all of the taxes, the fees, and all of that, it's only a portion of the actual profit. The OTA doesn't make a huge profit off of it, so when you're looking at 40%, Visit San Luis Obispo County basically had told me over a two-month period of time their commission check was around $200. So we're not talking about a large sum of money. What we're talking about is the potential opportunity to have a globally known brand that's out there. People aren't coming to morobay.org to specifically book their lodging for Morro Bay. A lot of the booking happens with some of the OTAs and a lot of times directly through the corporate calls and a lot of the marketing that, you know, the corporate hotels are actually doing. People are coming to morobay.org. Yes, they do look at what lodging options are here, but a good majority of the bookings are happening, they're shopping around. So, I mean, it's really going to be a conversation, a larger conversation to say, yes, there are commissions that, you know, essentially Liz answered a question that Member Beeman had via email that there was a conversation about 18%. Their commission essentially is at 15%. If you want to be a preferred partner with Booking.com, it's at 18%. But there's other value adds that they put onto that. But again, I think it is too large of a conversation to make a decision here today, and I would love to have some more conversations involving, and we can look at some other systems that are out there as well. But I know Mr. Solu has been patiently waiting here, so I'm going to...
John Solu, I really encourage you to put this off and really discuss this through. The reason I'm going to say this is even bigger than, as Donald Trump would say, a kickback for the 40% to the city. But here's a bigger issue. As you guys were talking, I sat in the back and I said, June 17th, I want to know how many rooms are available and what the rates are showing for Morro Bay. 26 hotels showed availability June 17th, which is a Friday. Then I went into Booking.com and said, what rooms are available in Morro Bay? Only 14 hotels showed up as available. As some of us get more sophisticated in revenue management, and the last thing I hate, I love Booking.com, but I hate writing a check to them at the end of the month. And same thing is going to happen when they go into MorroBay.org and try to book at the Booking.com button, there might not be any availability on a Saturday night on Booking.com because a lot of hotels has the sophistication through extranet, not give them any rooms, or through the direct connects that some of us have, actually not give them any rooms because we want to say we know that we can sell those rooms without giving a 15% commission. So in actuality, the traffic could reduce in MorroBay.org, even though you said it was $200 commission back to the VCB, you know, in off seasons, we open everything up. We'll take them at 20% commission. But in the summertime, I can tell you in my operations on weekends, I don't have Booking.com available. So which means, but I have it available through MorroBay.org currently because it's a different mechanism. So that is a bigger issue, I think, and I really encourage, and there are other jackrabbits out there that we can be looking at too besides Booking.com. I love Booking.com. It's a worldwide marketing tool for us. I think it's a great tool for Morro Bay, but these situations are going to happen and there's going to be zero bookings through the MorroBay.org site because Booking.com is closed. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And yes, progressive revenue management dictates you block out those rooms Fridays, Saturdays, over the summer times, any major holidays. So these are a lot of points I was going to bring up, which is why I feel very, very passionate that this is a workshop issue. This we really need to drill down in and explore this and look at all the different angles. that can come from this, because the OTAs, while we do need them, as John said, we hate writing the check, and they can be very substantial checks. When they're looking for 15 to 18% of your gross profit, your gross revenues on your property, and if your property maybe only has a 45% profit margin, they can be absorbing 50% of your profits. So it is tremendous. It really is. And so the world is in bed with the devil, and we have to work with them. But we need to be very calculated about this decision, and currently Booking.com is the tool that Visit Slo County is using, and there are a lot of discussions there on how we're going to proceed forward, because these are large checks that they're absorbing from us, as well as its inconsistent inventory that the public sees. So those are just my thoughts. Now, just as my first time sitting here as chairperson, then I don't know, is this an item that we need to create a motion for, or are we just having discussion?
No, it's basic discussion. I think the other question that I would have for the advisory board, especially the ones that are lodging, when would be the most appropriate time? We're coming into the summer season. It's a busy time. We want to make sure that we are being appropriate as far as like when we schedule the workshop, and be working with Jennifer specifically on that. I mean, we're in May. I would really hate to try to schedule a workshop in June, and perhaps we hold off until the fall to have the workshop when there's a little bit more availability of time.
That sounds... Well, excuse me. Jackrabbit, is it a monthly contract, or are we annualized?
It is a monthly contract.
Okay, so anytime we can revisit this issue.
It's just a requirement of a 30-day.
It's 30-day termination.
Correct.
Notice. All right. Jane, you have a question, and then Taylor next.
A couple of things. First of all, in any business entity, I'm sure that I think you need to talk to Jackrabbit. One of the things about Jackrabbit that I like is that it identifies Morro Bay.org as a level playing field. And Morro Bay.org is a service that anybody can use and anybody can advertise on. When we switch to something like Booking Suite, that separates Morro Bay.org from just a general service to an income-producing business. And we're driving all of our marketing to MorroBay.org, so I think we have to think about that for all of our businesses in this town. I just want to say something about the income that the county has derived. I know they have derived probably a smaller check, but their website wasn't up and running really till recently, but all we've identified is Booking Suite. I would like somebody, maybe the new tourism director, to reach out to Steve Mead. I think he's the person, right? He's always been, every time I've had a problem, he's right on it. I'm sure they don't want to lose our business. What do we need? You know, and the same hotels that don't have a website that are on Jackrabbit are probably not going to be able to figure it out to go on Booking Suite. That's just who's running the hotels. I haven't heard any other source. I've been told that there's other sources out there. All I am talking about. All I've heard about is Booking Suite and Jackrabbit. So I'd like to know about the other sources. Last but not least, I have a legal question, and that is people that are on this board that will be making this decision, maybe Sam, you could go to legal counsel with this, people that are on the board that are voting, okay, is there a conflict of interest if we are already using Booking Suite as our reservation system?
No.
Okay, you sure?
I'm very sure. It's a community-wide decision. It would be like the council not being able to do anything on code enforcement because they have a house.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a community decision.
Yeah.
Completely
yeah.
Fine.
So, and the other thing is I'd also just like everybody to know that booking.com is different than Booking Suite. So we have to really talk about it as Booking Suite.
No, it's actually booking.com.
Okay, so we're going to be using booking.com, not Booking Suite?
No, it's booking.com.
Okay, so then my other questions are, some of us that are on booking.com have specials, so the people that will click through morrobay.org, they will pay, and the preferred rate is what the city will adjust on their website. So if they want to drive more business, they could go ahead and put down 20% for a commission, correct? You can change that. I mean, there's a lot of questions we need to.
Right,
and I would like to have more entities to look at, and I would like somebody to talk to Jack Rabbit.
Good question, Jane.
Well, Jane, just to address a couple of things that you had talked about, the Visit San Luis Obispo County website has always been up, so they actually have continued traffic there. They just infused the reservation system. They went from Jackrabbit to booking.com. So they've had a reservation system on their website. As far as the addressing Jackrabbit, I have had number of conversations with Steve Mead, and nothing has really materialized out of that. And again, I'm extremely appalled with the lack of professionalism from our representative here in California. I have addressed that higher up. Nothing has really been addressed as far as that. But when you're looking at $14,400 a year and you're not getting any service from a company, that says a lot. Where the booking.com, and I'm not saying again that that's the final solution, but there's actually no cost to the organization. $14,400 can actually go back out for sales and marketing. And, you know, Travelocity has offered, and Expedia has, they also have, where you can infuse booking engines at one point in time. I don't know if they have that too today. A lot of the OTAs are moving away from that. When I worked in Minneapolis, we had Travelocity. Our commission was, we received checks for like $1.52. It's not a considerable amount of money to depend on. Where you really have to look at, where do you want your benefits to be? Do you want to be somebody who's with a global brand that's, you're going to be worldwide, where you're going to be able to have international as well as domestic to be able to make reservations on there, you know, on a system? Is the commission structure enough to have the argument in saying, let's try to maintain rate integrity? Mr. Graves had pointed out, it's like sometimes you make a deal with the devil and sometimes you don't want to continue to feed that monster, but unfortunately the OTAs are out there and they're existing and customers are shopping around and they're making a lot of bookings off of the OTAs. So again, it's a larger discussion, Member Beeman, I would love to have a representative here from booking.com to be able to answer those specific questions, because I don't work for the company and I don't want to try to answer questions that I don't have the answers for today.
Thank you, Brent. And Taylor, you had a question.
Yeah, mine goes back to the data that Brent gave us for this discussion. And my question, Brent, is, why is the mobile referrals such a huge leap and increase between January 2016 and May 2016 compared to last year?
That is a really great question, and
thank
it's
you.
Because we changed and we upgraded our website. Previous to this, there was no reservation system on our mobile site. But when we launched the new site in December of last year, we have a responsive site. And so now bookings can actually happen on any mobile device. And that is through the Jackrabbit system. So we have seen an increase as far as like the number of bookings. We were challenged technologically with our old website and being under a WordPress system. We weren't able to infuse the reservation widget on the mobile site. And because we've seen such an increase in our mobile presence, our mobile numbers website-wise, have jumped like 200+%.
Yeah, it's insane.
Since the launch of the new site. So, and we're seeing that as a trend as a whole, you know, web-wise. You know, as Jane's on her iPad and I'm usually on my iPhone, I probably use that more often than I use a desktop. So that's why you see the numbers jump as far as that they have.
So when we're looking at like booking.com or whatever other entities that we might come up with, that mobile, the future is mobile. Google told you that
correct.
This morning. That would be a huge part of that, right? Especially when we're talking about like getting younger people and, you know, the future.
Correct. And I think, too, by maybe looking at having a workshop in the fall, Visit San Luis Obispo County is also collecting and they're monitoring the system, and they'll be able to come to the table, too, with their data and their information that will actually be able to help Morro Bay make a final decision on what they would like, what direction that they would like to go in, because the other systems that are very similar with OTAs have a very similar model. So ultimately, again, I think it's a good first discussion, but I think it's something, especially with some of the smaller properties that are not with some of these OTAs, they need to be at the table. And I think even some of the larger properties have some concerns and have some questions that perhaps that some of the people, the experts, can be at the table to be able to answer those questions appropriately.
Good question, Taylor. Always an analytical mind. Thank you. So since we're not looking for a motion on this, is my understanding, if the board is completely resolved of any further questions, is this is a deep issue. I would advocate highly doing a workshop. Of course, Jennifer doesn't start for a few more weeks in June, and I hate to throw her in front of that. As we move into the high season, there's a lot of orientation before you host the entire town to come and discuss this. So it sounds like we're all advocating having a group workshop in the early fall to discuss this. Does that sound correct, board?
Yes.
All right, so we'll just table that for a future item. Moving on then is, and actually I don't know if it's formally on here, but yesterday was the Amgen tour here in Morro Bay. Phenomenal event, tons of fun, lots of positive energy, so I just wanted to thank the community at large for being part of that. The hoteliers, police, fire, city council, you name it, everybody was there, and I think it was a lot of fun. Moving on, we're looking for any declaration of future agenda items from the board. Are there any thoughts? Jane?
Yeah. Oh. I would like to have on the agenda budget. And the reason I would like the budget is because we're taking on salaried employees at the city level, like the new tourism director, and I'd like to know what the impact to our budget and if we have to move line items around.
The answer is no. You already approved the budget with that, with all the funding in there. The funding
including
remains
exactly, benefit package.
Funding remains the same.
Everything's
yep.
the same.
Yeah, correct. The way we calculated it, if they were a contractor, they were going to receive a certain type of incentive package that basically would have amounted to the same type of benefits. And we simply mirrored exactly what the Bureau already is providing to the executive director.
Sam, can you address when council will be finalizing the overall city budget? I know they'll go through a series of workshops.
It'll be by the end of June,
okay,
basically. So they will go through a series of workshops. That's a good opportunity for the community to come out. The budget is so important, and almost no one ever comes to those workshops. So if you're interested, please feel free. We'll start putting the draft budgets on the website as well. So.
Okay, so then I'll withdraw that since there's no changes that we could make anyway. I would like to talk about Amgen, you know, the takeout. It was really our first big group project, and thank you again, Aaron, for bringing that to us. But I'd like to talk about that. See how we could have done better, more for our hotels, why we didn't get hotel business. I think that's important to know. And on a public forum.
And Jane, just to address that too, on a county level, we have talked about having a debriefing on Amgen. not only for the experience here in Morro Bay, as well as some of the other cities that have hosted in the past. One of the recommendations that I made at the Visit San Luis Obispo County Marketing Committee meeting is that we develop an Amgen handbook for cities who want to host, you know, what the expectations are, whether you're a start or whether you're a finish, you know, what you have to look at on a budgetary standpoint, how you actually have to get sponsors organized, volunteers organized. I think there's a lot of knowledge that's out there. Unfortunately, it's not being shared amongst from community to community, and I do have to give both John Sorgenfrey as well as Gordon, who is with the PISMO Conference and Visitor Bureau, that they had reached out to me and said, if you need any help or if you want any information, fortunately we were already in the heart of it, so we had a lot of the items were actually already done and in process. But I think by extending that olive branch, that it really provides an opportunity for us to share that information. So I don't know when that probably will materialize, sometime in June, but we do want to have, you know, the city involved and staff involved, et cetera, when it comes to trying to put this information together. So that way, whoever is going to host this next year, if it's going to be in the county, we'll be able to pass along that wisdom and information. It could be Morro Bay again. We don't know that at this point in time. But I do need to extend a thank you to Aaron Young. He called the majority of properties yesterday to do a preliminary room pickup report, and he's finalizing that information, waiting to hear back from some of the properties. So his report will be available. We'll be sending that out to all of the constituents, et cetera, once we have all of that information finalized. So, Aaron, thank you. I can only see your hair. Now I can see a little bit more of you. But, no, I do need to thank him for his time yesterday.
So it sounds like we do not really need to declare that as an agenda item. The works, we're working through this process, and it'll sort of evolve with the county. All right. Thank you, Brent. Taylor, you had a question?
I did. Microphone. On.
Okay. So we're talking about future agenda items, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. One was, I'm with the dissolution of the Bureau, I feel like that's an unfinished conversation, and maybe I'm not remembering when we're going to talk about that as the T-bid, but there's some monies in there, and there's like taking apart that nonprofit. I'm just, you know, I know that from the nonprofit I work with, for me, I'm liable because I'm a board member or whatever, so I kind of wanted to at some point get my mind wrapped around that professionally. And two, Sam, I wanted to just say thank you for the Morro Bay pool. It was something I brought up with you last year. I stuck it to you on it, and I know it wasn't just you, but we're going to get a pool. And I love the public persona we put off about this pool and how we're moving forward with it. I just, congratulations and thank you. On that note, city beautification, that's something we've discussed before, and I have a few things I've added to my list of, because I feel like city beautification plays into tourism, just like tourism plays into sales tax. And I wanted to point out a few things that I've talked about before and some new things. I still would really like to see tree lights. I still really want to see street trees that are alive, which helps, you know, planting the right tree is how you do that. I want to talk about, you know, roundabout maintenance. It's the entrance to the city, you know, like what's the plan with the middle of that thing? It's been a dead tree for like 2 years. It's a giant eyesore to me. Pesticide use on city streets, you know, that bothers me. Or herbicide use on city streets by public people. And then graffiti, that's a new one. You know, our graffiti community has exploded in the last 2 years. In my organization, we're very supportive of that in a positive way, but there's really no communication with the graffiti community, and you're not going to put them in jail for very long, so let's start a conversation is my point on that. That's it.
So, Taylor, do you have any agenda items you want to propose in relation to the T-bid?
I thought that those were agenda items for T-bid that should be discussed, and I'm not really sure how to put that into as an agenda item, but I do feel like it's my responsibility to continue to bring that up.
Okay. Maybe perhaps it's talking about how city aesthetics, the impact of city aesthetics on tourism dollars.
So I'm thinking city beautification as it relates to tourism and heads and beds, because that's one thing as a board here we need to maintain laser focus on is our job to spend this money as efficiently to get heads and beds and promote tourism here and not to digress into other things. But that is kind of a subjective slope.
Yeah, so there's a beautification committee, and I know that they're in discussion with council with a number of items. But I think it plays into us here as well. I know that Jane has recently had an email about graffiti, which brought this up for me. Okay. So anyways.
Okay. So you're proposing a beautification as it relates to tourism agenda item.
Maybe an update from them or something like that. My list is getting larger.
Taylor, are you looking at having the city come to maybe address some of those things on a TBID level or...
Sure, or a representative from the beautification committee. I'd love to hear from Walter.
Okay.
Thank you, Taylor. Any other thoughts or agenda
items? What about the Bureau dissolution thing? That one kind of concerns me because
That's actually happening, Taylor. We addressed that earlier in the meeting, that Morro Bay Tourism Bureau board meeting has to happen because those issues are related to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board and not so much the TBID Board.
Except that the only reason I'm on the Bureau is because I'm on the TBID, right?
Yeah.
So it is related. Because if I quit
TBID... Yeah, but you'll have a separate... So in the past, sometimes you've had joint meetings. You've had a joint Bureau TBID meeting, and that's probably what you'll do at your next one so that you can talk some TBID stuff, and then you'll talk specifically about Bureau dissolution as the Bureau Board wearing that. So you'll take off one invisible hat and put on another one. Mm-hmm. So
right.
We'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Cool. Thank you, Taylor. Thoughts or questions? Charlie, do you have anything to add? All right. Jane?
I'd like to go back to the Amgen. I want that on the next agenda. We spent $15,000 for that. $17,000 out of TBID funds. The county did $30,000. Mm-hmm. We had a booth at the start line with nobody in it. We need to talk about Amgen because it's not just Amgen, okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
So maybe citywide sponsored events, like bringing in this, talking that. I do have a couple of items that were on previous. We need to bring up at the June meeting on the event grant process. So... Jennifer and I will be talking a little bit about that, and we'll have some information ready down the pipeline too. We need to address, I don't know how to sometimes even put this specifically in words, but we need to address how the new tourism department under the city will address concerns from customers from hotels and motels that may not meet specific standards. So maybe we need to have a standards conversation future-wise, and how that will actually be addressed. Oftentimes we get customer complaints where about specific hotels and motels here in Morro Bay, and even though we're not a regulatory agency, and how that is going to be addressed in the future. So I think that's a topic for the advisory board to maybe start discussing and perhaps look at what other destinations and other cities actually do and how they address it. Because under the law of how our Tourism Business Improvement District is formatted, that we can't stop from marketing and promoting a specific property if they don't meet certain criteria. It's illegal for us to do that. So some other destinations are allowed to do that because they're membership-based, they're not fully TBID-based, and how they're structured is very different. So ultimately, I think it's going to be like the booking.com discussion. I think there's going to be kind of a series of different workshops because, again, you're an advisory board. You're not a regulatory agency, but we do need to figure out how to address that in the future because it's a part of the reputation management for the destination. If customers are having a bad experience, how do we address that? and we always want to make sure that customers are satisfied and now into the future.
I agree with that completely, and a guest will just throw the baby out with the bathwater. They'll just discard all of Morro Bay altogether. While most of us are good, hardworking hoteliers that try to maintain a solid standard, there are a few that are known for questionable practices, and that reflects poorly on the rest of us. So I think that is a very important thing. Are there any other further agenda items that anybody would like to put forth? Nope. All right. I would like to announce that our next meeting will be on Thursday, June 9th, 2016 at 9 a.m. That'll be at the Vets Hall where our standard meetings are. And if there are no other comments or thoughts from public or staff, then we will call this meeting adjourned. It is 10:57 a.m., 3 minutes ahead of schedule. And I would like to request a gavel at some point. There is just a sense of authority. Do you have one?
I have one.
Okay.
I'll bring it in.
Just one thump.
I've got a gavel. I love it. I've got 11 o'clock conference.